and read through the end of the chapter. I do encourage you to come back tonight. Brother Micah will be ministering for us. Wednesday night, we've begun a teaching series in Luke chapter 24. I'm excited about that. All right. Matthew 8:24. If you're there, say amen one more time. All right. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the seas, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him? And when he was come to the other side, into the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils coming out of the tombs. Notice this, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? And there was a good way off from them a herd of many swine feeding. So the devils besought him, saying, if thou cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine. And he said unto them, what? Go. And when they were come out, they went into the herd of swine, and behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down a steep place into the sea and perished in the waters. And they that kept them fled and went their ways into the city and told everything and what was befallen to the possessed of the devils. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they besought him that he would depart out of their coast. Will you reach your hands this way? Let's agree in prayer. Father, we thank you once again this morning. We praise you this morning. Thank you for your holy word. Thank you this morning for the power of the gospel. And Father, we look to you right now for help, guidance. Open our heart and our mind this day to, Lord, how you would have us to receive your word. Be glorified through this message. We acknowledge you in all of our ways. Direct our path. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. You may be seated if you wish. I want to real quick recap these verses that we just read. And then we're going to look at another place in this chapter here in a minute, and then we're going to go on to the Gospel of John here just shortly. Someone say praise the Lord this morning. Now, I've read a few verses here, I think about 11 verses of Scripture, that tells of Jesus calming the storm and delivering these two men possessed of devils and bringing great fame, but the fame was that folks rejected him and sent them away. Verse 24 describes a great tempest, but Jesus was asleep. Verse 25, the disciples woke Jesus in fear. Verse 26, the master rebuked the wind and the sea. And this word rebuked here means to straightly charge or to speak firmly to. How many understand that Jesus, when he got out there, he spoke to the wind? Amen. They questioned what manner of man this was that even the wind and the sea obeyed him in verse 27. Now, on two occasions, Jesus rebuked the sea. On another occasion, he said, peace be still. Here in any of the Gospels on this occasion, it doesn't say what he said, but he rebuked it. Someone say praise the Lord. Another version of the Bible in verse 27, it says, and the men were full of wonder, saying, what sort of man is this that even the winds and the sea do his orders? Now consider that our Lord has such power in the words that he speaks. Last Sunday morning and Sunday night, we talked about things being under our feet. And I want you to know today that Jesus is the Supreme One who has all things under his feet. Verse 28, once they were across, they encountered a very fierce enemy. And the Scripture tells us here that they were exceeding fierce. Now, how many have read in the Bible in 2 Timothy 3:1 that said in the last days, perilous times would come. It's interesting that the word perilous here is the same word as fierce here, talking about difficult, dangerous times. And I believe we live in devil-possessed, difficult days today. How many know that describes the condition of the world that is around us? Now, the enemy hindered everyone, it said, verse 28, that no man might pass through. But how many understand that he couldn't hinder Jesus? Amen. Verse 29, it says, the enemy, admitting defeat, pleaded. Now, if you've got a pencil and paper or you've got something to jot down, I want to tell you there's three things here you absolutely must know. Three things, and the three things I want to share with you that you must know are three things that the enemy admitted to. Now, not having been introduced to those individuals, they said, we know you're Jesus, the Son of God. How many of you understand today that the devil is aware of the fact that Jesus is the Son of God? Amen. He knows this. That's number one. Number two, the enemy here stated that they know there is a future judgment for them. They understand their time is limited. And Brother David, there's a future judgment. Are you come to torment us before the time? They understand at some point in the future, Brother Russell, there is a time of their doom. They know this. Now, here's the thing. Number three, they know that since Jesus is the Son of God, He don't have to wait for Judgment Day. Y'all didn't get that, or you'd be dancing and shouting, I guarantee it. Are you come to exercise the authority that I know you've got instead of waiting for Judgment Day? Now, if you know these things and know that the devil knows these things, I think you'll be better off. You'll understand more who Jesus is and the position He is and who the enemy is and the position He is. The church has this same power today given by commission. Now, verse 30 and 31, they know they have no choice. And if Jesus be lenient, they're asking for permission to enter into the pigs. Verse 32 describes how this legion, and if you want to read Luke chapter 8 and Mark chapter 5, you'll get the three versions of this story as recorded in the Word of God. But there is a legion here. Now, a legion is between 2 and 6,000 soldiers of a segment of an army. And they use this term to describe themselves. I know the count of the herd of swine was about 2,000. If I assume that, well, at least one devil per pig. Can I do that? And even the pigs couldn't stand one of them. They'd rather commit suicide than live with that mess. Yet these men tolerated it. Does that tell you how far man has fallen? That these two men would put up with more and live with more and tolerate more living in the filth of sin. Come on, someone say praise the Lord. Than a whole group of 2,000 swines would put up with. They ran violently down the steep hill and committed suicide. Or should I say bacon-ocide. Is that all right? Can I do that? Verse 33 and 34, it said, the word spread and the people begged him to leave. Now, this morning, I want to title my message, When Jesus Speaks. And we're going to look at several scriptures here. When Jesus speaks, something happens. When Jesus spoke to the wind and He spoke to the waves and the storm, they absolutely had to obey. When Jesus spoke to the devils, and can you imagine a group of at least 2,000 evil spirits possessing them, these men, and they acknowledge who Jesus is, and Jesus speaks one two-letter syllable. And it was enough that they recognized that the battle was already lost. They had to run out of these men and run into some swine because a Savior spoke, Geo, go. Are y'all with me? I'm talking about the master of the sea. I'm talking about the one that is the Word made flesh and dwelt among us. Every promise of God is embodied in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And if you ain't picked up on this yet, I'm big on Jesus. Jesus is our reason today. Jesus is the fabric of this church and the fabric of me and you. And what we need to understand, He is the side that our bread is buttered on, and we're not going to get anything if we don't get it through the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He provides all things, and by Him all things consist. Y'all get this today. Same chapter. Let's back up a few verses. This whole chapter, what a wonderful, wonderful chapter in the Word of God. You know what my favorite chapter is? The one I'm speaking at the moment. And it could be any one of them, Brother David. There's 1,189 in there. 31,102 verses filled with the promises of God for the children of God. Verse 5. When Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came to Him a centurion. Let's get into a number here. A centurion is like a lieutenant over 100 men. A centurion, and how many can see the word century in the name centurion? You get that in etymology when you study the word. A centurion is a leader over 100 men. Beseeching Him, verse 6, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented, thinking of this individual. Obviously, he had authority and position within the army. Obviously, he was influential enough. He had servants. Are you with me so far? Say amen. He loved his servant. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. Now, how many recognize if you came to Jesus and that was your request and you asked the Lord to intervene in a situation in a loved one or a friend's life, and Jesus says, okay, I'm going to stop what I'm doing right now. We're going to make our way to your house. I'm going to do something and he's going to be healed. How many would start shouting? Hallelujah. But notice what this man said. All of our prayers answered. Verse 8. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy. How many understand that whatever you get from God, and friends, don't get me wrong, the blood makes us worthy. We know that. Somebody say amen. But in and of ourselves, by our own righteousnesses, but by our good works, I can't earn my way to heaven. I don't deserve anything He gives to me. But friends, I receive everything He has for me. They call that grace, and I love the grace of God because it's not because of me, it's because of Him. And Brother Mike, I know what He done worked. I receive and accept everything He's got for me. Friends, that is the gospel. The gospel ain't the fact that you're part of the most holy, self-righteous church of the frozen dead. Come on now. But the gospel is that Jesus loved you enough. The measure of His love was displayed on Calvary. He loved you enough to take your place that you might go free. I am free today because the Son set me free. And if you're free in Jesus, you're free indeed. Woo! Glory to God. But in the meantime, I'm not worthy for Jesus to visit my home. I know I'm influential. I know I'm a centurion over a group of men. I know that I have servants and I have wealth more than likely, you know, but when it comes to Jesus, I recognize He's up here and I'm down here. And how many know that's the first place we need to recognize it? Jesus is up here and we're way down here. Let's keep reading. This gets good. That thou shouldest come under my roof. Who am I that you would visit my house? But speak the word only. Oh my goodness, when Jesus speaks. And He's telling here three occasions in this chapter. The wind was calmed by the word of Jesus. The demons fled at the word of Jesus. And now sickness has to do what? Take a back seat. Only speak the word only and my servant shall be healed. Now this is a mighty, mighty saying. Notice this. He's saying why He come to that conclusion and why He felt it unnecessary for Jesus to traverse the country to arrive at His house because of verse number 9. He understood rank and authority. And He said in verse 9, for I am a man under authority. I have people over me in this army. And He says, having soldiers under me. I understand my position. And I understand those under me and I say to this man, go. Notice the word go there. Ain't that interesting that right below that's the same word he told the devil? Go. And he goeth, and to another come, and he cometh, and to my servant do this, and he doeth it. The centurion being in the army understood that the general commanded the subordinates. How many understand today what's under Jesus? Everything. Jesus said, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. Now here's the thing. How many believe that? How many believe that? Go ye therefore. In other words, the authority that Jesus has, he's given to the church that we would operate in his name, by his authority, exercising the same power that he's got. All right, notice this. Jesus marveled in verse 10. I've not seen so great a faith. No, not in Israel. Jump down to the end of verse number 13. And his servant was healed the selfsame hour. How many recognize the words of Jesus have power and authority? Jesus called Lazarus by name. He obeyed. Jesus told Jairus' daughter to rise. She did. Jesus told the only son of a grieving mother in a coffin, he says, rise up, boy. He obeyed. You know why? Because Jesus has life. He's the Prince of life. He's the way, the truth, and life. He's the author of life. And guess what? Life has to obey him when he speaks the words. Glory. Maybe I'm the only one in here getting this today, but I'm getting it. Jesus rebuked sickness and disease. It had to obey. You know why? Because our bodies must respond to the words of the great physician. The fig tree was told to die. It obeyed. Jesus spoke to the wind and sea. It obeyed. Why? Because he's Lord of creation. How many understand that? His creation must obey him. The enemy knew that they could no longer torment this man, so they requested the pigs, and Jesus allowed it. How many know that 1 John chapter 4, he says, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Let's turn to John 15. Hallelujah. When Jesus speaks by his authority, the elements must obey. Everything must obey. But what the struggle of the church is today is to operate in the stead and power of Jesus. Brother Russell, that's what we need to do, and that's what we can do if we would grasp it. I want to change my focus just for a minute. Number two, Jesus speaks. When Jesus speaks authority, all of creation obeys. Number two, when Jesus speaks of love. Friends, I want you to know today that the greatest thing in this world is the love of God. And for us to know the love of God means everything. The world will not respond to our religion. Somebody say amen. The world will not respond to church as usual. We've got to love the world. We've got to love the world. Notice John 15. I want to start reading verse number 9. I feel the wonderful presence of the Lord in this place today. Do you know God loves you? Hallelujah. Notice verse 9. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. It's one thing to look at somebody and tell them with words that you love them, knowing in your heart that that's not true. And it's another thing to demonstrate that love, to show them that love. Amen. It's one thing to say, well, we'll pray for you. And it's another thing to come and be warm and filled and to do. Love commanded, exemplified, love and obedience brings joy. The church must be an oasis of love. Listen to this. Without love, you are nothing. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Love is the chief fruit of the Spirit of God. Galatians 5 and 22, the fruit of the Spirit is love. Starts off with that. Love is the indicator to the world of our discipleship. They will know that you're my disciples. How? Because you have love one for another. Love is greater than the gifts of the Spirit. You know why? Because love never fails. How many understand the gifts of the Spirit one day will cease to be? I'm not going to need prophecy when I get to heaven. I'm not going to need speaking in tongues when I get to heaven. 1 Corinthians 13, the last half of that chapter deals with that. Love spoken of, amen, lived by, and demonstrated is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And friends, I want you to know you cannot know love without knowing Jesus. Luke 23, turn with me. How many praise God for the authority you have in the Lord? You know, thinking of that one word, go. He told the legion, go. I want to illustrate that for you the best I can. Can you imagine Jesus here in Dunville? Brother John, he's on a bicycle, okay? Jesus here in Dunville. His 12 disciples, they're on bicycles. And they're headed to Russell Springs. I really come up with this morning. Y'all have to forgive me for this illustration. All right. Jesus is going from here to Jamestown, going through Russell Springs, and he gets there to Kmart and notices that there is a group of Hell's Angels bikers, about 2,000. So he wheels in on his bicycle there, steps off, puts his kickstand down, and looks around. And all of a sudden, they start looking at each other. And he says, go. And they scatter like rats. Help me picture that. How much greater would the authority of an individual have to be for all these demons to act that way? Hard to illustrate. Are y'all with me today? But for 2,000 to beg him not to torment them now, give me permission to enter the pigs. That tells us in measure how far superior Jesus is. Oh, can y'all get that today? Hear me now. It don't matter if he's on a bicycle or a motorcycle. He'll get the job done. In Jesus, you have victory. Luke 23. I had to interject that, by the way. I thought y'all would rather enjoy that. I did. Hallelujah. Jesus can do more on a bicycle than the world could do on motorcycles all day long. Verse 33, Jesus, when he speaks love, I believe the world should listen. When he speaks authority, all of creation hears. And friends, when he speaks forgiveness, I hear his voice. How many are thankful that he spoke forgiveness into your life? I'm thankful for that. I want to put this in. I want to add this morning. In verse 33, and when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. And the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left, then said, Jesus, Father, read this with me, friends. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. The cross of Jesus Christ teaches us the measure of the love of God. Understand that this is the altar place of eternity. Jesus, as high priest, offers himself, crucified in agony, made into a curse by the law he created. Galatians says they that are hanging on a tree would be a curse. Displayed between two thieves, humiliated by being stripped of his clothing, surrounded by sin, and bearing our sin, the sinless Savior issues words of pardon. Now, what does that tell you today of the love he really has toward man? How many of you could look at your executioner in the face and says, I forgive you. You don't know what you're doing. The love of God here. John 19. I want you to turn once again. Hallelujah. I'm getting ready to close here. Give me just a couple more minutes. I read this when I was studying And my, I want you to know the power and presence of God filled my room. I'm thankful today for my Savior. And I will tell the church again, if you ever get tired of me preaching about Jesus, you can always get another pastor. Hallelujah. But I guess this takes the guesswork out of what you're going to hear when you get to church. You don't have to wonder about it. Because when you come to the Dumbo Church of God, you're going to hear something about Jesus. And the thing of that, you're only going to hear something good because I don't know no bad. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Jesus speaks the ultimate words of victory. Verse 30. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. The Creator, Lord of the universe, the one that had spoken with authority, with life, he spoke health, he spoke love. All the elements had to obey him. Now these last words before death. And it's interesting, if you read in Matthew 27, verse number 50, he said this in a loud voice. How many of you ever watched some type of boxing match or something and the announcer said, "Let's get ready to rumble"? I want you to know they were getting ready to rumble. The earth was getting ready to quake. I believe hell was getting ready to get shook. And I don't know if you could envision it in the mind of your imagination, but I could picture the devil with trembling hands reaching Jesus the key. How many know our Lord has total power? What Jesus was saying here in a loud voice was a proclamation that the victory absolutely and totally had been won. That God the Father's judgment against sin had been satisfied for the believer. And friends, I want you to know today, I'm a believer. I'm a believer in Jesus. I'm a truster in the gospel. I rely not on myself, but I rely on Him. And friends, I want you to know, one day I'm going to enter heaven's bright shore, not because of what I've done, but because of what He has done. I'm trusting in Jesus today. Sister Vicki, will you come to the piano this morning? Church, I want to ask you to stand all over the building today. My goodness, hallelujah. When Jesus speaks, something happens. When Jesus speaks, something happens. Is the Lord speaking to you today? I'm not asking you if you heard an audible voice from heaven, but I'm saying, is Jesus speaking to your heart today? Is Jesus telling you and showing you of things in your life that you need to change or correct? Is Jesus drawing you to His kingdom? Friends, I want you to know, the Bible says all that would come unto Him, He would in no wise cast out. Today, you're guaranteed acceptance if you call upon the Lord. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Friends, when we close our eyes in death, and we stand before Him in judgment, there'll be no place for repentance that day. Now's the day to repent. Now's the day to ask Jesus into your heart. Now's the day to receive the gospel. He loves you. Let's agree together in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You this morning for words of life. I thank You this morning for words of authority. I thank You this morning for words of healing. I thank You this morning for words of victory. I thank You for the amazing gospel of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and all that it does and all that it provides. And Lord, our minds have yet to understand all that it does. But we know, Lord, You made a way. And Lord, we'll walk in that way. Lord Jesus, this morning we pray in faith that You minister to each person here. Lord, You understand the need of every family that's represented here. Lord, each individual You understand and know us better that we know ourselves. This morning we receive Your goodness. We receive Your mercy. We receive Your grace. Have Your way right now. In Jesus' name. I want us to come and gather around the altar this morning. If you don't know Jesus this morning, call upon Him. Kneel at your seat. Find a place to pray. Allow the Lord to do His work in your life. Our young folks, let Jesus be Lord of your life. Find a place and pray. Call upon the Lord this morning.